I'd like you to go to James chapter 5. We like to study something for a month, at least, unless the Lord says otherwise. And we've been talking about prayer and how it releases power from heaven. Amen? How many like power from heaven to be released to your situation? Well, God's got power for any situation that you face, whether it's trouble, whether it's trials, or whether it's temptation. God's got power available for us. And we tap into that power when we pray to God, when we communicate to Him in faith, and He releases that power from on heaven. In James chapter 5, verse 16, says this, "Confess your faults one to another." But I don't have any faults. Yeah, you have a lying spirit is what you have. Ever since the fall, we have faults. But what we do to overcome our faults is get them out in the open. Confess them. Notice what happens here. And pray for one another. The reason you confess your faults is for prayer. Pray for one another that you may be healed. How many want to be healed? Well, you know, I notice that if there's a drawer in my house that has a lot of junk in it, and it's either hard to get open or hard to close, if you move some stuff out of the way, it makes a big difference, doesn't it? Right? So sometimes we get some junk that's in our lives out of the way, and we pray for one another, and God brings healing. Then he says this, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much," or makes great power available. So we have the potential to release power in our prayers. Prayer is like an aerial assault. It's like the F-15s that we release in the air against the enemy. All right? And every one of us can pray, right? When we pray, we need to pray based on God's word. We need to pray God's scriptures back to Him. That's the most effective way to pray. And there's all different kinds of prayer. You know, just like there's rules, you can't play football rules and play basketball, can you? That'd be pretty difficult. Football rules apply for football. Basketball rules apply for basketball. And there's different rules for different prayers. There's corporate prayer. There's praying in the Spirit. There's all different kinds. But you know, every one of us can be tempted. We can be tempted to fall away from God. We can be tempted to not do what we're supposed to do. And we can be tempted. But did you know that God made a way out of every temptation? With every temptation that we face, there is a doorway. And that door is an exit door. And it is a way out of temptation. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. And we're going to look at a passage here of one of Jesus' disciples. Let's start with verse 24, Luke 22, 24. "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." All right, so the disciples were having a little argument about who the greatest disciple is, okay? How many know that the greatest disciple of all time is Jesus Christ? When we start comparing ourselves with one another about who's greater, or we get in a whole lot of trouble, don't we? "And then Jesus said to them," "the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. but you shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as the one that does serve. So if you want to be the greatest person in the kingdom of God, is the greatest servant. If you want to have a competition, try to outserve one another. That would be a great competition. All right? He goes on to say, verse 27, for who is greater, he that sits at meat or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. Jesus was serving his disciples. And then verse 28, you are they which have continued with me in my temptations or my trials. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, let's pay really close attention to verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, when God repeats your name twice, he needs your utmost attention. Because what he's about to say is extremely important. Satan has desired to have you, or some translation, that he may sift you as wheat. Now, I want you to know something. That word you is plural. He's not just talking, even though he's having a conversation with Peter, he's talking about all the disciples. And he said, Satan desires to have you. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to separate you from me. He wants to get you by yourselves, away from me, apart from the vine. But notice what Jesus' response was. But I have prayed for you. I bet he released power in that prayer. I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So in other words, as Jesus was walking with the Father, he would spend time with God in prayer, and he would minister to people, and he would spend time with God in prayer. He saw this coming down the road. He knew what Satan's plans were before they ever were enacted. How many know God knows what the enemy is going to try to do before he does it? So Jesus saw this, and his response was, he prayed for Peter. He prayed specifically that his faith would not fail. And after he prayed, he was extremely confident because he said, when you're converted. There was no doubt in what Jesus prayed for and what he expected to happen. Okay? Now, let's get a little bit greater understanding of this word sift, okay? Satan wanted all the apostles. He already got Judas. But he wanted the other apostles so that he could separate them from Jesus. If Satan can get you away from Jesus, he's got you. But if you stay with Jesus, if you stay under his umbrella, Satan can't touch you. How many grew up in the 80s? MC Hammer, you can't touch this, right? You can't touch this with the big pants out here. I'm a product of the 80s, man. I love rap and I love heavenly metal. Notice I said heavenly metal. I listened to heavenly metal that exalted Jesus, but they had some awesome drums and guitars. Amen, right? So, this word you is plural, okay? And he wanted the disciples under his power. But Jesus' prayer prevented Satan from gaining control. All right? And he wanted to scatter them from Christ. And, you know, it's no different than what Satan did to Job. Hey, God, I see your servant Job. He's got a hedge around him, but if he was to lose his blessings, he would curse you and die. What did God say? God said he's already in your control. God had faith in Job. God knew that Job would never curse him. And Satan wreaked havoc in Job's life, took away this, took away that, but Job said, I will never curse you. He was encouraged to curse God by his wife and by his friends. But he didn't. And you know what changed Job's situation? If you read Job chapter 42, you know what God had him do? He said, when you pray for your friends, things will be turned around. So there's power in prayer, isn't there? Okay? So this, the phrase, according to Elcott's expository thing about the Bible, the phrase, I have prayed, it's in the Greek tense, which indicates an act of belonging entirely to the past. See, Jesus, once he prayed about it, he walked in his prayer. He kept believing what he prayed for. He never stopped believing. When he prayed, he fully expected Peter to return no matter what happened. And he walked in the faith of that prayer. He kept that faith. He said, when you return, strengthen your brethren. How many know that when you pray, if you doubt your prayer when you leave, then you better go back in. Once you pray, you've got to pray believing. You've got to pray expecting. You've got to pray in faith. You've got to pray. If you prayed according to God's word, if you prayed to the Father in the name of Jesus, then you can fully expect that what you prayed to happen. You got to believe it. You can't doubt it. You can't leave that prayer. Jesus couldn't have left that prayer saying, boy, I hope Peter gets a hold of it. Well, I really hope that, no. You've got to have some confidence. We talked about it the first Sunday, 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in him, that when we pray according to his word, he hears us. And when he hears us, we know that we have whatever we asked of him because we prayed according to his word. Say, God hears me. Did you know that God loves your voice? He gave you that voice. He created your voice. And he loves to listen to your voice. He loves your voice to praise him. He loves your voice to call upon him. He loves your voice when you say good things about it. All right? God loves your voice. Okay? So, when Jesus is telling Peter this, he's already taken care of it. He's already done what he needed to do so that no matter what Peter faces from this point on, he's going to come back to Jesus. He's not going to be divided from him for a long time. Okay? And to sift as wheat, it means the same as having a winnowing fan in your hand. It implies a process working on a... It implies that there's like a fiery trial. When the wheat was separated from the chaff. So this is what Satan is a divider. Jesus is a uniter. A house divided against itself, what's going to happen? It cannot stand. All right? But when we're united with Christ, we can be hooked up to the vine. So Satan wanted to assault the disciples with furious and violent temptations. He wanted to try to get them to doubt God, to lose hope, to lose faith. If faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's word. If you're not hearing God's word, then your faith gets weaker and weaker and weaker. So this was a shaking that was going to take place. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going somewhere with this today. Let's look at verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Did you know, once the scriptures tell us clearly how Satan operates. He's the father of lies. He is a deceiver. He is a dragon. He is a destroyer. Jesus said he is a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If anything in your life is being stolen, if it's being destroyed, if it's being killed, it is not God, it is Satan. And we have the victory over Satan in Christ Jesus. We can put a stop to the destruction, we can put a stop to the stealing, and we can put a stop to the killing. Jesus stopped Satan in his tracks. It was told that Satan would hurt his heel, but Jesus would crush his head. What does it mean to crush a head of something? It means to destroy its authority. Do you realize when Jesus died on the cross and when he rose from the dead, he gave us authority over every demon, over every evil spirit, over Satan himself? And we can enforce his defeat through prayer. Go to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And let's look at verse 38. Mark 14, verse 38. Jesus is talking here and he says to his disciples in the garden, watch and pray. Sometimes I wonder, why do we always close our eyes when we pray? Huh? Sometimes we need to watch and pray. Got to keep an eye out. What are you watching for? If Satan tries to get a foothold, you're going to squash him like a bug. Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Do you realize a thief does not come in when you're watching him? He comes in when you're not watching him, when you're not looking. He tries to find a way in when you're not going to be there, when you're gone, or when then he, whatever you have is exposed. A thief will not try to steal right in front of you. I'm going to steal Nelson's Bible. He wouldn't let me do that if he knew that I was going to be a thief, but he didn't know that. But Jesus said, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So guess what? We got to train our flesh to respond to our spirit, not the other way around. For too long, prior to coming to Christ, our flesh told our spirit what to do. But now when we come to Christ, our spirit has to tell our flesh what to do. I didn't feel like getting up this morning as early as I did. I set my alarm for 4:45. I ended up getting up at 5:30. But I tell you what, there was a little bit of struggle this morning. My body was saying, I want some sleep. My spirit was saying, get up and pray. My body was saying, I want some sleep. My spirit was saying, get up and pray. I finally listened to my spirit. And I got up and prayed. You got to make your flesh do what the spirit wants it to do. Amen? It's possible, isn't it? Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's look at verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober or clear-minded. Did you know that Satan can come in a cloudy mind? When your mind is clouded, your focus is broken. So he said, be sober and watch unto prayer. Watch unto prayer. What are you watching for? You're also watching for God to perform his word. You're not only watching for Satan to try to find a way in, you're watching for God to perform his word that you just prayed. And what you're watching is you're expecting it to come to pass. All right? Go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Are you with me this morning? Listen, if we could know how to pray, we can solve a lot of problems in our lives. Some people would have a hard time praying themselves out of a paper bag. Because you can't pray just long prayers that, you know, you just got to be real with God because God knows your heart anyway. So what are you trying to put on a happy face for God? He knows what's going on. Just tell it like it is. Be real with God. He already knows the truth anyway, and he still loves you. Amen? Psalm chapter 5, verse 3. My voice shall you hear in the morning. Who's he talking? He's talking to anybody, any believer. What should your voice be doing in the morning? Talking to God. And guess what? You don't have to have your first cup of coffee or whatever you need to wake up before you can talk to God. Amen? Why don't you just say, good morning, God? Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Lord. My voice shall you hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto you, and I will look up. Is look up another phrase to watch? Look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Look up with expectation. Look up with anticipation. Look up with readiness. Stop looking down. Sometimes you got to look up. Amen? Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 2. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials. You didn't expect this to happen. You just kind of fell into it. One time, my first trip to New Zealand, we were on a rafting trip for 3 days. And the first day, we set up a place of camp, and I had a rifle, and I was with another guy, and we were going to go get us some wild game, some deer or whatever. And we came to this mountain, and I said, you go this way, and I'll go this way, and we'll meet back in the middle. Well, on my way of meeting back in the middle, I tripped, and I fell into the river with a borrowed gun, and that current was swift, man. The minute I hit the water, shoo, that current took me. It took everything in me just to swim back to shore against that current. Here I am in New Zealand, dripping wet with someone's gun that I borrowed, and I look around and everything looks the same. Whether it doesn't matter what direction you go, everything is the exact same. I'm in the middle of the bush and nowhere. But my point is this. I didn't intend to get into the river. I fell into the river. When you fall into diverse trials, you're supposed to count it all what? Now, it may, listen, whether you have to count to 10 or 100, count as long as you need to get some joy. Okay? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith what works what? Did you know that God will try your faith to test your patience? You don't have to pray for patience. you'll have a test, and there's a test every day for patience, right? Okay. Then he says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him what? Did you know that part of getting joy and being perfect in a trial is praying? Prayer is included in this context. When you fall into diverse trials, you shouldn't whine, you shouldn't complain, you shouldn't grumble, but you should pray. Prayer is the right response when things happen. All right? Go with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. I'm going to give you two examples today. Of people who prayed when situations were very bad. Okay? And in Daniel chapter 2, let's go to verse 2. We'll start reading there. The king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Verse 5, the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces, your houses shall be made a dunghill. Now let's not go into what that means. How can you interpret a dream if the person doesn't tell you the dream? That's like trying to find a needle in a haystack. Okay? Daniel was an astrologer. He was a person in this group. Him and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were in the king's court. They were part of this group. Their life was in danger. Okay? They answered again, verse 7, and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me the interpretation of it. And verse 10, they said, there is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magicians or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requires, and there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Hello, now he's at least thinking along, there's no one can show this thing but God. But God needs someone to pray to unlock the mystery. Okay? And verse 12, for this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. He wants to wipe out a whole entire group of people because they can't tell him the dream, because he doesn't tell them the dream. He expects them to be mind readers. Okay? And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, verse 13, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. So here come the executioners, knocking at Daniel's door with the sword ready to go. Okay? Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is this decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then, verse 16, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time that he should show the king the interpretation. Now look at verse 17. Then Daniel went to his house. He made the thing known to Shadrach, those guys, his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of heaven, concerning this decree, that Daniel with his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. Okay? Their life is threatened. Their life is in danger. And what are they doing? They're getting together to pray. Because prayer, true, effective prayer, Bible-based prayer, prayer in faith is greater than any threat the enemy can put at you. So they prayed. They asked God to reveal the secret. They magnified God. They lifted up His name. And what did God do? God showed them the secret. But isn't it interesting how the secret was not made known until someone prayed? Maybe there's a secret to unlock the circumstance that you're in. Maybe there's something hidden that you can't see, you don't know is there, but when you pray, God will show it to you. Prayer in faith to God reveals the secrets of heaven. It unlocks closed doors. It makes things come to pass. It changes the course. They would have been destroyed had they not prayed. I wonder if our lives were threatened, would we pray more? Well, I really better get serious about my prayers now. Well, why haven't you been serious all the whole while? Oh, we only want to call on God when we're in trouble. We only want to call on God when there's a great need, but we don't want to call Him in times of peace. We don't want to develop a relationship with Him when everything's going okay. We only want to call on Him to deliver us and rescue us when we need Him to. Just something to think about. Listen, it's much easier to call on God when you're in trouble if you've been calling on Him the whole while. If you've been calling on Him before you get into trouble, it becomes much easier to call on Him when trouble comes. Why? Because you've developed the habit of calling on God, talking with Him every day, letting Him hear your voice in the morning and in the evening. All right? It's much easier if you develop the habit of talking with God versus when something just comes up. Come on. Can I get an amen for that? I know that comes with some conviction. But we as Christians, to be a Christian means to be Christ-like. It means we can commune with Christ every day of our lives. Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesdays. But every day. Tomorrow when you get up, the Lord's going to be there. And He's longing and waiting to hear your voice. When we sit down to eat a meal, you know, Christians like to pray over their food because, especially if you're eating out, because you know, you don't know what devil's in the kitchen. You better pray over your food, right? My friend back in Illinois, we'd pray over our food. He's bind every devil in the kitchen. But see, Daniel just didn't pray when trouble came. Daniel prayed 3 times a day, every day. He was a man of prayer. He developed a habit of prayer. He had a lifestyle of prayer. Each and every day, he talked to God. So when trouble faced him, it was no big deal. He went to his default. His default was God. When you don't know what to do, call on God. When you don't know how to solve this problem, call on God. When you don't know how to get out of this trouble, call on God. When you can't clean up this mess, call on God. Calling on God ought to be our default. And God showed Daniel not only the dream, but the interpretation of it that no one else knew. Because only 4 people knew how to pray in this particular scenario that the Bible paints. I'm not saying that there wasn't more people that knew how to pray, but the Bible records these 4 people. How many people? 4. They prayed. And God answered. Why? They expected God to answer. Daniel went into that prayer knowing that God would reveal the secret. He went into that prayer confidently that when he got done praying, he would have the answer that he asked for right there. And Daniel walked in that answer. He went before the king, and guess what? He shared the dream. Daniel got promoted because he prayed. So how important is it for us to pray? It's very important, isn't it? All right. I want you to go to Acts chapter 16, and we're going to talk about one more, and then I'm going to close with this. I need two male volunteers, please. Just come on up here. If you feel like volunteering, you're going to help me illustrate this sermon or this thing that I want to do. One more. I need one more. Come on. Don't be shy. Listen, God needs your participation. No one's here as a bench warmer. All right? Everybody has a part in the game. Okay. You're going to be Paul. You're going to be Silas. All right? And in Acts 16, starting with verse 16, Acts 16, 16. It came to pass as we went to where? There's nothing more that the enemy would like to interrupt than your prayer life. They were on their way to pray, and something was about to happen, okay? So, here, Paul, Silas, I want you guys to act like you're going to go to a prayer meeting, okay? Just kind of take a few steps that direction, all right? Start here, all right? Start here, and you guys are going to your prayer meeting, okay? All right? You're going to just make your way over to past that side of the pulpit there. This helps me give good directions. Okay? So they're on their way to pray. And this damsel, this woman, she's saying, these guys are the men of God. They're chosen of God. They're called to bring you the message of God. All right? Now, after a few days, this kind of bothered Paul. Something inside of him was saying, listen, what's behind that woman is not right. Okay? So Paul turns and speaks to the Spirit. And he says, come out of her in the name of Jesus. So say that. Okay? And the woman was set free. But the problem was she was a fortune teller. Okay? She ran a 1-900 psychic number. Okay? And once the evil spirit was cast out of her, she couldn't tell fortunes anymore. So her owners couldn't make any more money. And they were upset. All right? And I want to read this here. Okay. So I'm not going to drag you guys, all right? But let's just say, put your hand behind your back, all right? You're arrested. I'm bringing them before the magistrates, okay? Because they're taking my prophet away. All right, I want you guys to get up here now, all right? Just stand up here, okay? Hands behind your back because you're arrested. All right? And verse 20 says, they said to the magistrate, saying, these men, being Jews, do they trouble? What trouble did they do? They cast a demon out of a person, and they're troubling the city. You guys are troublemakers. You guys just go, wherever you go, you stir up trouble because you're sons of thunder. Oh, those were two other disciples. So now the whole crowd got into a frenzy. All right? And they whipped them like this. All right? On their backs. They gave them stripes. Okay? Now, take two seats. You guys can sit down. Now they threw them into prison. All right? They shackled, your hands are on, they shackled their feet. Okay? They threw him in the inner prison, if you read the story, the dungeon. Now, you got to understand, they were whipped without having their wounds tended to. They were beaten. Okay? They're bloody, they're bruised, and they're in shackles. You talk about, you have a bad day? They were just going to prayer. Boy, if that's going to happen to that prayer meeting, I'm not going to that prayer meeting. Right? But at midnight, something happened. At midnight, something happened. They began to pray. They began to sing songs. At midnight, in the darkest hour, in the apex of the trial, the apex of the trouble, they didn't feel like it. They didn't want to, but something inside of them said, you got to pray to God. You got to sing praises to God. And they began to sing and praise God. And the Bible says the other prisoners heard them. That tells me that prayer is not silent. One preacher said, let's bow for a moment of silent prayer. And the devil said, amen. You missed that. The preacher said, let's bow for a moment of silent prayer. The devil said, amen. Why? Because there's no silent prayer. You got to get it out of your mouth. It's got to come out of your mouth with some force. Especially when you're in trouble. Especially when you fall into a trial, a test that you didn't expect. They were just going to pray. And on this way to prayer, there's this crazy demon-possessed lady who's saying good things. But what was behind that woman was not right. And after a few days, the gift of discerning of spirits came on Paul. He saw that that was a spirit. So, they were singing. Let me see here. I want you to see this verse. Verse 25. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Now, raise up your hands like you guys are praising. All right? All of a sudden, while they're praying and praising, there was a shaking going on. The whole building, the jail was being shook by the power of God because God's into prayer. God's into praise. He began to shake the jail. And while they were praising, stand up, their chains fell off. When they prayed, when they praised, when they looked to God, when their backs were bruised, when their backs were bloodied, it was prayer and praise that not only set them free, but every prisoner in that jail was set free. And the jailer came in. He's like, oh my gosh. He takes out of his sword. He was commanded to keep watch over these two. He takes out his sword. He's about to kill himself, because otherwise he'd have been killed anyway. Paul said, don't harm yourself. We're all here. Isn't that a miracle? All the prison doors are open, but the prisoners are still in. They were more freaked out about how their jail cells got open, because they felt the shaking too. Prayer shook that jail and set them free, set other people free. All right, you guys can sit down. Give me a high five. You guys did good. Give him a hand. I didn't know how I was going to illustrate shaking the jail until that moment. Let me tell you, shaking the jail can take some out of you. Woo! The jailer took Paul and Silas to his home. He washed their stripes. He said, what must I do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus, you and your family will be saved. Now guess what? Your family still has to believe. So, after they washed Paul and Silas, they had a little church meeting at the jailer's house. Everybody in the house got saved because two people prayed. What if they hadn't prayed? That jail still would have been still, their shackles would have been on their feet, and the prisoners would have been in the prison and the jailer would have been unsaved. He fed them. And after the church service, they had a baptism. Everybody in the house got baptized because two people prayed. Prayer made the difference. We've got to be a people that pray. We've got to know how to pray. You pray according to God's word. Pray the scriptures. I can't say it any simpler than that. What you read in the Bible, you can pray to God. Because God is in heaven. He's waiting to hear his word so that he can perform it. And when you pray scriptures to God, his power is released on earth. And it changes situations. It changes lives. It changes circumstances. Because there's great power in our prayers. We just have to pray. We have to be a people that get in the habit of calling on God. Start today. Make a decision in your heart that when you leave today, you know your lifestyle. You know when you got things going on. Schedule a prayer time in your calendar. Set your phone for a reminder. And when that reminder goes off, be faithful to pray. Because don't wait till trouble comes. Start developing your prayer life now. Make it a habit of prayer. Can you say amen? Next week, we'll have Dr. Ron. What are you facing today? Your trials may not be to that degree that Paul and Silas were, but a trial is a trial nonetheless, right? God's got answers. Jesus is the answer. Now, what question? Doesn't matter what the question is. Jesus is always the answer. We got to call upon him. Amen? And if you're here today and you need special prayer for healing in your body or finances, whatever it is you need, God's got it. God can give it to you, but he just needs you to come in faith. Come believing that you receive. Come believing that God loves you. Come believing that God wants to do it for you. Come believing that God's able and he's willing to do it for you. Say, God is willing to do it for me. He wants me to have his power right now in this hour. God's my source. He's my strength. He's my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you have a need in your life and you need God to meet that need, I want you to come up right now, and I would like to pray for you, and I'm going to see God's power be released on your behalf. Amen? It didn't take long for the situation to change with Paul and Silas. It just took a moment. It took a few seconds. Spirit of Jesus.